Chop and Beef Show, week number 26. Yep. You and I both don't know what the hell we're still doing here, but here we are. Week number 26. There's no college football. College baseball starts this week. College softball last week. But we are here, the Chop and Beef Show, coming to you once again. Welcome to the Chop and Beef Show. It is me, the Beef, Casey the Beef Cregan, joined as always by my cast of crony. Zach Locks Parker is here with me. JJ's on location somewhere else, indisposed at the moment, maybe in the throne room. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he won't be joining us tonight. So you just get two of us. We got a couple four stories about college athletics, maybe even just some athletics, and then hopefully that's enough, and we move on to something way more important, which is what we hope is comedy. We don't know. We hope you're laughing out there. We're certainly laughing here. Thanks so much again for joining us tonight, tomorrow, the next day, whenever you may be listening to the Chop and Beef Show. We appreciate it. Wherever you may find your favorite podcast, we appreciate you listening to ours. On that note, we will see you shortly. Chop and Beef Show week number 26 is next.
All right.
Are we ready?
Lead the way. I'm sure it'll work
lead
out.
Lead the way. Right? You're the one that has all the shit.
What shit?
Oh, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I said in my open. Welcome to the Chop and Beef Show. Week number 26. Half a year. We've hit half a year. Week 26.
I can't count that high. You count that high?
No, I just happen to go back through the old archives, I guess. Because I number them as soon as I put them in. So I erase all the... I erase everything, really. And then thankfully it's on that Anchor or Spotify or wherever we're heard. So I counted from there for some reason today while I was waiting for a meeting.
26.
This is 26, yeah.
Streaking. We're streaking.
Yeah, well, you hear that... I don't know if you can hear it, but
that
silence.
Oh,
we're missing somebody.
What? I was waiting like a tortilla chip to crunch or something, at least a siren.
A siren to go. JJ unfortunately is out of the loop this week, but hopefully next week he'll be not riding the coattails of some back on the show.
Whoa!
I mean, wait, what did I say?
That's his line. Man, it's good. No, he's getting after it.
He's making business moves, and unfortunately, he's in the air when we have our allotted time to record. So we'll have him back next week, back and better than ever, as they used to say on the Golican. Or Mike and Mike in the Morning, they used to say that.
That's right.
You can't hear it, but I got the Chicago Bulls entry music going on, because that's how I felt tonight coming into this.
Is that good? I don't know what that is.
You remember the old? I don't know. It was cool back in the day. It was like.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. 6 foot six from North Carolina.
Started. That's right. And then here comes Bill Cartwright. Yeah,
7 foot one from Nebraska. Bill Cartwright.
Who got? You notice he got the ball every single time, first play.
No, I never
every time.
That.
Every time. Baseline, two dribbles, fade away, he makes it, then he gets it again. If he misses it, he never touches the ball again the rest of the game.
Is that what it was?
That was it.
That was their game plan?
That was it, let's man. Go. Just give it to Jordan.
That was back in the day when centers actually did something.
That's right.
So I guess they gave him an opportunity to make a play, and then we're about to have a fight here in the Ranger Wild game.
Ooh.
Fight. Referees talking to dudes. That's great. But anyway, back to the NBA, which I much.
Liar.
Back when centers were centers, you know, before they were 7 foot one and hitting threes and shit.
Back when guards were 6 foot one, not 6 foot ten.
That's true, too. Yeah.
When did things change?
That's weird.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, Magic Johnson was the first of his kind, and then there was nobody for a while. Then all of a sudden, it was like LeBron and everybody just got... They're just huge now. Right. Could handle the ball. So,
yeah.
But yeah, a little All-Star weekend this weekend, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What? Where is it?
Chicago.
Very nice. Oh, apropos then.
See, you You knew.
I must have. Something. In my subconscious. See, I do listen to sports talk radio pretty much all day, especially now that I'm back in the car.
Right.
In and out of the car, I guess I should say, brevity's sake. I don't even know what brevity means. But I am in and out of the car, but I listen to a lot of it, and I should have known that because I do know that Golic and Wingo are broadcasting live from Chicago tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And is tomorrow night? Well, let's see. No, that would be Saturday night. Will be the fun Saturday. Stuff, right?
Yeah. That's it. Would be Saturday. You know, it's funny. I say that, and I'm being very condescending in my voice this evening when I'm talking about the NBA. One of the All-Star games that I actually do watch is the NBA All-Star game. I know
the actual game.
I do. I will. I'll throw it on Sunday night at 8 o'clock or so, and just watch it. And I don't know why, because it's not good basketball.
It's bad. It's like 168 to 160.
Who's going to take the next three? Is what happens. Like last year, they were. I want to see what the bets are.
Oh, I bet it's wild. Like total points.
Yeah.
340 something like that. It's going to be crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Do you watch the Saturday Night Madness?
I won't, no? Probably.
No? No. I've always, since I was a kid, like, for real, like 20 years now, I always try to tune in to at least the three-point and the dunk contest. I kind of like the little thing they do, too, before. They do, like, the they'll get some forwards out there, the skills thing, where they dribble and pass and do a couple things. That's kind of a little entertaining to get you going. But there was one a couple years ago when Kevin Hart was involved, and that was, like, the best one I've seen in ages.
That's tomorrow. Well, the
I think that's Saturday night.
Celebrity game is
Celebrity's Friday. Yeah,
no, maybe.
So
the futures. I think the futures game is tomorrow night.
There we go.
Which is Friday night.
Yeah,
but I don't know when.
Weekend.
There's a local radio personality here in New York City that is playing in the game. That no one will know him, but Peter Rosenberg, good Irish Catholic kid.
Oh yeah, I mean, he sounds like a baller, honestly.
he is a baller. he is something. He's bald. Balder, maybe.
Balder. There we go.
He's actually very, I listen, like I said, I listen to sports talk all day. So I start in the morning. Who we got? What do we got going on there?
It's just, the other dog's back. It's freaking romper room.
Well, so in the morning I listen to Golic and Wingo, kind of, My son, if I have my son in the car, he wants to listen to Baby Shark and shit. So we'll do that. But I got him into I think I was saying it last week, I got him into From Good Homes, which is a band that I've listened to since high school. It basically brought my group of high school buddies all together. We would go to shows together. We still do to this day go to the show. They play one time a year around December. But anyway, there's one song called Maybe We Will, and it's like talking about filling the cup. Filling it up, filling it down. So he's like usually with his arms up in the air, going up and down. Dude, we rock out for that 2 mile trip to daycare.
Yes.
So it's been a little bit of a savior, but the other song that he does listen to is Baby Shark. but I'm I'm digressing from my story here, my quick story. I listen to sports talk all day, every day. So Golic and Wingo when I'm not listening to Baby Shark. Then I Lebatard. Lebatard's my guy. He's my idol. He's my hero. He's pretty much one of the reasons, other than the stupid knowledge I have in my head, that I start this show, and especially have the two guys, you and JJ, on the show, just because I feel like you're my shipping container. And I'm nowhere near Dan Lebatard. But anyway, I'm saying all that. Holy shit, that's long-winded. To say that I'm surprised I haven't heard that it was in Chicago. That was it. That whole fucking story was for that.
That's it.
How dumb is that?
I feel like I wasted some time there. I don't know,
about 4.5 minutes of life.
I really thought we were going to get to like a roundabout to something, and that was it.
As soon as I came back to the story, I realized it in my head that it was really going to be like it should have been about a six second story that turned into about 5.5 minutes. I don't know.
So Chicago. We got that down.
Yeah. The Hookers will be out in force, apparently. Like, that was a big thing.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. They had that thing in Vegas a few years ago, too. I bet that was a scene, right?
Well, they were in New Orleans the year that my fake bachelor party. And
that's right.
Someone told us at one of the bars, not a stripper, no strippers, told us that they were excited that the All-Star game would be in town. In a few weeks after we were there.
Well, there's a lot of money to go around, you know. I mean, that's a whole crowd that it brings with
the
it.
The whole industry, yeah. It's
crazy. Yeah, everything goes out the roof. I would imagine they probably bid on it or something. Or, there's
the
finalists or something. Yeah, sure. Or something like that, right?
You know? They got to do something that way. I guess they got to keep it fair, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it's done. But, yeah, it's quite an industry. The economy bursts when that comes to town, for sure. So, what else is cracking, man?
Oh, you know what? In the sports world... it's for me, it's hockey season.
Right.
I've started following it as closely as possible. Went to a game a couple nights ago.
Mm. How'd that go for you?
They lost because I've not seen a victory in the, quote, new Madison Square Garden. I think I'm 0-6 since they've renovated in, like, 2012. I've spent a lot of money to go to games, and I haven't seen a victory. So that's fun.
Good.
And beers are at least cheap, you know, at $14 a pop.
Sure. So, how many did you guzzle out there?
Like, I think there was three. Yeah.
Three. Yeah. That's solid. Almost a 50 spot.
My boy Billy the Bull paid for the ones at the bar before the game.
Attaboy.
And then I paid for the ones at the game.
Oh, so you messed that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got the tickets this time, so he was like, "Hey, let me get you beers. Let's meet at the bar." I'm like, "Cool." He's like, "Oh, I'll just open the tab." All right, cool. And we get to the game. He's like, "Hey, I'll get you beers." I'm like, "Dude, you don't have to buy me beers. It's fine. These tickets were paid for like a year ago.
Yeah.
That money's well gone." He's like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. And I'm like, "No, that's not the right answer." he actually bought me his ticket stand. I'm like, we had a good date. We had a good date, me and Billy the Bull.
Little mandate. Yeah,
yeah, nice. It was good. He's a good kid. And he literally is a kid. He's like, I don't know, 30. To me, he's like 22, but I think he's like 31.
See, it's good to hang out with the youngsters. I got a youngster out here to hang out with. Yeah. Breathe a little life into you.
It does. He's a good kid, and we had a good time at the game, truth be told. But anyway, so it's hockey season. I know college baseball, which I'm huge on, and I went back and listened to my very first show here. I talked about how I was going to delve deep into college baseball and really didn't do it last year at all.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to do it this year either, but... I do pay attention, and that does start this tomorrow.
That's what I was thinking. It's usually on Valentine's Day weekend, right?
Yeah. So that's exciting. There's a lot of excitement in the air. I can't even tell you who the top teams are, but it's probably the same suspects, Louisville and SEC teams. And
tell you, I saw a thing on my Instagram today. I think I counted 8 or maybe it was even 9 SEC teams in the top 25. Vandy's like... 2 maybe, yeah, something like that.
They're always good now.
Yeah, very good. But it was everybody, all the usual suspects. But man, that's a lot of teams in the preseason top 25 for sure.
It's a lot of teams. It's good baseball. The South has good baseball. Yeah. They recruit well. The ACC does have good baseball as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. Yep. It's exciting times. There's going to be a lot on TV, especially with the onset of the ACC network.
Mm-hmm.
One cool thing I saw the other day was the Clemson women's softball. I don't know
if
that's redundant, but. Obviously, they're not going to be good, but we're both homers. But it was cool to see them on TV yesterday for their inaugural home game, I guess.
Yeah, how'd that go for them, huh?
They split. They split a series with Western Carolina. They lost the first home game.
8-0, no hitter. No,
That was the second. So they lost the 2:30. They played at 2:30 and 5:00. These games fly by.
They do go quick. Yeah.
I turned it on my phone while I was on the road yesterday about 3:15, and it was in the fifth inning.
What's up there? Like lots of ground balls with the
lots of strikeouts, ground balls. They don't.
Yeah.
The girls aren't like.
They get the ball and sling it back.
They get the ball and throw it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not looking around. They get their sign. They look at their wrist usually because the sign's usually on the wrist of the pitcher. So they're not looking in, shaking off signs. They're not stepping off the mound. And there's usually very quick pitching. Anyway, the second game was a 8-0, which I guess in college softball is a blowout, the mercy rule.
Yes.
And the girl pitched a no-hitter.
Yeah,
so the first victory at home was a no-hitter, 8-0 game, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. It always blows my mind how you can sling it underhand just to start with. I can't do that. Have you ever done that?
I've tried.
It either hits the ground right in front of your foot or goes way high. Like, I can't get that timing down.
Yep.
And these girls throw freaking sliders, curveballs.
Rise
like
balls?
Risers, which are like nasty. Like it's
have you ever
it's
tried
crazy.
To hit one?
No, but I mean they're closer too. What are they?
45,
50. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. That's pretty close with them
it's
throwing
little
it.
It's Little League baseball, and they're throwing 65, 70, which is coming at you at 90, and then
whipping
putting,
at you. Yeah.
Then they're putting big this ball. Rise on it, or the they have knuckles and what's not the knuckles, the screw balls.
Yep.
They can do that with the underhand motion. It's nasty. I know Rai was writing he's still writing, but he was writing for a paper down in South Jersey, and he went in and faced a high school girl.
Really?
And claims he looked silly. So I believe it, though. I believe it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. That thing, those things are nasty. But
it's wicked. It's, you think with a bigger ball, it wouldn't move the way it does. But man, oh, man. I mean, I'm not a physics guy, but, you know.
It's cool to watch, too. I mean, it really is. I know softball doesn't necessarily get the love.
Right.
And quite honestly, Clemson's not going to be that great this year, obviously, because they're brand spanking new. Yeah. It was funny. My wife heard it last night when we were watching the end of the game, and they were interviewing the pitcher, Kamal, I think is her last name, Valerie Kamal, maybe. But they were saying that she was a freshman, and this was her second year on campus.
Mm.
I'm not good at math.
Wait a minute.
But how does that work out? Unless, like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. With a new team, are they allowed to come on campus the year? I know he was recruiting, John Rittman, the head coach. I know he was recruiting players who are already on campus, but do they automatically redshirt that first year?
I don't know. I mean, I was a senior my fourth and fifth year. I was on campus, so it's kind of the same thing, but different.
I was a junior my second, third, and fourth year. One up. Like, here I am with the one up, but it's true. That's the true story.
We're just like them.
Just like them. I think I have eligibility. No, I was there for 12 years. I don't have any eligibility. But
I think there's like some type of rule that you probably instituted for you.
It's just the Sam C rule.
What's the deal? Like, why so long? Why did it take so long to get a softball team?
I don't know.
Is that weird?
Yeah, it is weird, especially because the ACC has, I think, 9 teams.
Right.
9 of the member teams, and like 6 of them are always really good. They're not like Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Alabama, or there's some teams that are just perennially good, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Florida States, I think there's a couple teams in anyway. I don't know why it took so long. There's something about Title IX. I think they had to have something. But it's usually they're allowed to add a women's sport, but can't add a men's sport.
That would make sense.
Sport, then they have to add a women's sport. I learned about this in my master's program, and I can't regurgitate it because I just needed it for a test. And
attaboy.
Then you just lose it, you know?
Oh, yeah. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. 4.0. Right. 4.0 in that program. Can you believe that?
I can, yes.
Yeah, when you're 40 years old.
You figure out school finally.
You figure it out.
Attaboy.
Took a couple years. Jesus Christmas, that was a laser.
Hey, did you watch any XFL this past weekend?
I didn't, man, and I should have just for this flipping show.
You didn't miss much.
I know.
I watched a combined 30 minutes, I bet, over the 2 days. But yeah, like the first time they did this a few years ago, like it was like the rage, you know, and it had the wrestling thing in it. But now they're like really trying to make this thing happen, and it's just not near as cool. I mean, it is what it is. Who knows if it'll work or not, but they're really trying to like work this thing out to be like a minor league, you know, type of thing where guys can go to the NFL, you know, there's some players. I mean, you got Cardale Jones from Ohio State, Nick Fitzgerald. Remember him at Mississippi State? He was good. He was a heck of a player, but I mean, it does look like they're having a lot of fun, and they do some different rule things, which could be interesting to see if anything carries over to the NFL, but it's not, he hate me. You know, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like wild like that. You don't got like, you know, I didn't see that much, but I didn't see any of the cheerleaders like dressed like hookers like they were the first time, you know, like it wasn't wild
like
that. Yeah, you know, so nothing to see here. But it looks like they're really trying to make this one work. So I don't know. I mean, I already forgot. Remember last year there was like a AFL.
Yeah.
I forgot that even happened. That folded like that, you know?
Yeah.
So they took their time with this one. So we'll see. You know, Oliver Luck is the, commissioner, I think, of it? So
I think that's the thing this time.
Maybe.
I think last time Vince McMahon,
it was rushed. You know?
And he was like in charge, and you know he's rough and tumble, especially with his wrestling. He's in charge. He's the man. Mm-hmm. I think he's finally relenting a little bit in some of the control. He's going to fund it, call it the XFL, have his name on it, but he's actually getting some smart people to run the day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. Oliver Luck being that guy, dad of Andrew Luck. And I think that brings some legitimacy to it, too.
Sure.
So we shall see. I do plan on, you know, like I said, my brother's in town this weekend, so we'll probably be together. TV will probably be on. Maybe a game will be on or something. But, you know, I want to peep it a little bit. I'm not saying I'll sit down and watch a game. I mean, as a lifelong Tampa Bay Viper fan, I might have to, you know, tune in, but... How about the coach, Pepper Johnson, the former Giant, New York Giant, gets fired, the defensive coordinator for whoever he's coaching.
Like that. Go
one week in.
What'd you do, Pep? I mean, come on, man.
What did he do? He gave up 36 points or something in the first game, and that was it. That was what all she wrote. But I don't understand. How do you spend that whole offseason? Because it took them a while to get together, get ready.
Sure.
A draft almost a year ago.
Yeah, I know. And it's wild. Like, game, just gone. It makes you wonder, like all these college moves, like they had someone already ready that was just better or something. Like, he didn't give up many more points than any of the other teams. I don't know if you saw the scores. They were all pretty high-scoring games.
And
so
I know that's what they want.
It's like Big 12. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it brings the ratings, though. You know, they're doing it the right way. They're doing... They're giving it a whirl, you know. So
I do like some of the rules that they're doing, because it's going to make the NFL say, maybe we do need to look at this kickoff rule. Or
I like that. My favorite is the 1, 2, and 3 point extra points.
Yeah,
you know, the 1 point from the 5, 2 points from the 10.
Are
3 points from the 15. I don't think there's any extra points. Okay. No kickers. There's kickers for field goals only.
Okay.
And do they even do kickoffs? I don't even know. See, I didn't get that far. But
yes, they do kickoffs, and they actually line up the defensive the kickoff team 5 yards apart from the return team down the field, but they can't move until the player catches the kickoff.
They're not like flying into each other.
They're not flying into each other. It's
less injury.
Yards. Right.
Right, right. And that's the idea.
No fair catches, so they have to make a run back. I don't know. People were all over Twitter last week saying how awesome it was.
Give it a whirl, man. Someone's got to try it, because the NFL just, you know, they'll do it for like one game, the first game of preseason, which no one's playing in or something like that. They'll try these hokey little things they're doing. But this might – something might rub off here. You know, if they can prove it over – I think it's an 8 or 10-game season. It might be 8.
And
I
eight
think,
teams, maybe. Right? So there's just two games each day, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so it's cool, you know. They do you remember, you talk about the kickoffs, this reminded me, remember the original XFL, the first kickoff they had, all big, you know, huge hoopla thing? Remember what they did? They put the ball at the 50-yard line, and two guys sprinted for it. That was their kickoff.
That was right.
and the guy that didn't get the ball tore his ACL play.
That was awesome. Welcome to the XFL.
You know, great idea, but no.
Really,
yep.
That was 2001.
Sure, that was a while ago. Isn't that wild? I mean, that's 19 years, man. It's crazy. Doesn't seem that long ago.
And now there's a new XFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bringing it.
They are bringing it. What else we got going on this week?
What did you see? What's the story in college football? Anything?
Yeah, Colorado. Mel Tucker, who was at Colorado for a year. I believe he was the defensive coordinator at Georgia before that.
Follow along, folks. This kind of goes in a circle, like, type of thing here.
Well, and I don't have the exact quote, but I just have the gist, I guess, is that Mel Tucker is now the new head coach at Michigan State University. So he took the job. He was the head coach at Colorado for a year. Was just put together a pretty good recruiting class, was on the phone. There's a video of him saying, you know, like, trust the process, you know, where it's not going to end. It's not going to be a one-day thing. We're going to be growing and building together, and I love you. And then the next day, he's out of Colorado, and he's out of Boulder and heading over to East Lansing, Michigan. And he was also quoted as saying something about how much he hated the transfer portal because it gives the kids too much power to just up and leave a program.
Out of one side of his mouth, he says, yes, I'll accept the job. Out of the other side of his mouth, see, what I meant to say was yeah.
So that's what we got going on, and he's taking some heat in the media and the social media, yeah. But you know, God bless him. I have no problem with it. It's a business.
It's a business. Give it a week. That's gone. You know, get introduced as the new head coach. Get a little hype going. Hey, you know, have fun dealing with the sanctions, right? Because I'm sure they're going to get something. You know,
Michigan State. Yeah.
Yeah, they're stuck. Thanks, coach. Leaving that behind. So,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you don't think Michigan State is a stepping stone job. So, if he's successful there, he may actually be there for a while.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's going to still, though, I think it's going to take a minute to get, if they give him the time, you know, the school can do the same thing he just did, boot him if someone else is interested.
Oh,
you know?
Very easily. Yeah.
It happens all the time. 2 years and you're done. And that's going to be real tough, again, without the recruits and probable sanctions he's going to get from D'Antonio.
It's D'Antonio, but it's always been referred to as Mark D'Antoni, but it's D'Antonio.
D'Antonio, that's what I thought. Okay, gotcha.
But D'Antonio's out of a job. He'll be the next head coach of the University of South Carolina. I'm calling it here on the 13th day of February 2020.
Shots fired. I hear you. You got it, man.
After Muschamp gets fired after this 4-8 season upcoming, they're going.
Hardest schedule in the country 2 years in a row.
Dude, you're going to do this to me?
I've heard it. I've heard it already from the
me
Gamecocks.
Too. Me too.
You know? Hey, they already know it. It's going to be the hardest schedule ever.
I feel
ever.
Like I'm going to be beating a dead horse, and it may lead to rant, which I haven't done in a while. How the fuck can you rate strength of schedule without a game being played?
In February.
Are all the teams exactly the same? Okay. All right. If you're doing it based on that. Now, I understand, and I got in a Twitter battle with somebody about this. I understand it's fodder. It's, you know, some talking head or tweeting head. It was some blue check mark dude I got into it with. About like, why did you even put this out? Because it's the off season, we need something to put out. I'm like, great. So how can you tell who's going to be good? Well, we just figure it's not. It's like having a preseason poll. I'm like, exactly. They're both meaningless. You don't know. On paper, does it look like Clemson's going to be really good next year? Yeah. Do we know how good those two freshmen on the defensive line are going to be? No. You know, do we expect them to be great? Yeah. Do we know for sure? No. I can't stand it, and it literally makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
More than anything in this world, and that's
we can tell. We all know.
Oh God, I know. I'm like I'm looking for new and fresh, and here I come every time when it gets brought up. I go revert, and it's nothing. Truly, I swear on everything holy, it's nothing against South Carolina. It's not. It really isn't. It might be a little bit. only because they use it.
They do. And they're the ones at the end of the year, like when Clemson's playing Alabama, OCC, you know, like that whole shit. So that's where that comes from, at least from my standpoint.
Schedule, that's why you guys play the Citadel. It's like, look at your out of conference. You're playing shithead state, you know, daughters
and losing to them.
Yeah. And then losing to Vanderbilt, and you're like, yeah, it's really hard schedule. It's like,
we beat Georgia.
God, sorry. Off the soapbox.
It's only February. It's okay. Take a deep breath.
We're not even there yet. We're not even in the doldrums of July talking about I'm not even sure what. You think we don't know what we're talking about now. Get us in July.
Yeah, it's going to be screaming for the season to start. Yeah,
JJ, we're a long ways away. Maybe we will talk about that Tuesday night doubleheader in San Diego between the Pirates and the Padres.
just as a distraction.
Right? Because it's July. Good Lord.
That's right. Hey, did you see that Paul Feinbaum?
No.
Did you see this thing? Did you? I texted it to you. It's classic.
Maybe you did.
This is true. This is, and how, I have no idea. So he is under contract with ESPN and SEC Network, you know, all the same company, obviously, through the 2020 season. He's already exploring options with the four major networks for a sitcom about his life.
Oh, my goodness. That would be tremendous. I would watch every second of that first and only season.
Do you think he's really considering this? Or is it just like a leverage thing? It's got to be, right? I mean, you can't leave what you got, what you've been doing forever, and you're actually pretty good at, and you have a enormous following. Enormous, enormous following. To go do this, like, how long is this sitcom going to last?
Wait, so he's going to play the role of himself?
Yes.
So he wants to be Larry David is what he wants to be.
It's what it sounds like, you know. Did you ever read the book?
What?
Yeah, right? No, this actually is a very good book. Clay Travis wrote it.
Yes.
You know, where he goes to every school. My God, why can't I think about it? This is where
it's not Saturdays Down South, but
it's something like that. Yeah, and forgive me for forgetting. I'm unprepared as usual, but he spent a lot of time when he went to Alabama with Feinbaum the whole time there, and that's the first time I heard of Paul Feinbaum. And, I mean, that was when Feinbaum was nobody. And, like, it was the same type of thing where he would come out if Alabama lost and he would be say something against them. He would wear, like, an overcoat, a hat down, and, you know, because he was in Tuscaloosa, and, like, go in and get a bagel somewhere, and someone would spot him. And these rabid fans would, like, start screaming and throwing stuff at him type of thing. Like, that would be the sitcom, you know? It would be very, very Larry David-like, like you're saying, you know?
Dixieland Delight, is that the name of it?
That's it. That's it. Thank you. Yes.
I looked
it
up.
Yeah, attaboy. You know, you got the Google box whenever you need it.
I actually read it.
I have it. I did. It was a very good
I don't like him, but yeah.
I don't, and why don't a lot of people like Clay Travis?
Well, just because he's taken a very political sports slant.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he's got his sheep that, you know, he's a smart dude, man. He's a smart
He reminds me of Danny Kanell kind of a bit. He I don't does. Know. Yep. Same kind of like
idea, but Travis is more political. He'll get
really?
Into yeah. He'll wow. call out race and stuff. Yeah, he's tough. Yeah. He's a tough
no kidding.
Tough egg. I've kind of yeah, because he's got too many people now, and they all look a lot like you and me, and there's not a lot of diversity in what he's talking about.
Gotcha.
And it kind of rubs you funny. But anyway, I mean, he was funny. That book was great back when he wrote his little – he had a little –
It was column. A while
it's
ago.
Like Bill Simmons, man. He had his great column,
mm-hmm.
the sports guy, and then Travis had his mailbag that was hilarious.
Yep.
And I just stopped once he went full-blown – political. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like politics. So
yeah, it's one of those things. You know, well, they said don't talk about politics. Don't talk about religion. Don't talk about what you know. It's like it's complete it's divide on people. You know?
My thing is keep politics out of my sports. I watch sports to stay out of politics. My whole thing always was like I'm more passionate about sports than I am politics. And now some of it comes into play, and that's why I don't like him. But that's it. I'm not talking politics at all. Because I don't like it. I'm naive. I'm ignorant on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I hear you.
What else we got?
How about college basketball?
Oh, my goodness. How did we wait this long to talk about the game of the century? Of the century. Of this century. Of this year's century.
It's one of those. I had it on. Kind of turned out. I was like, wait a minute. They're both wearing blue. And I'm kind of like looking at it going, why is UNC winning by like 16 points? Yeah. What is going on here? This isn't right. And I like look away and I look back and I'm like, they're still winning by 12 and it's the second half. What is going on? You know? And like what a wild ending. Holy cow. You know, it was a great game. Fantastic. And I'm telling you, I shot you a text earlier. Duke is living the charm life. I mean, they really are. Obviously, UNC, that was a one-off. They're terrible. But, man, there's something about that team. Just from watching that game, they never quit. As much as I'm not a huge Coach K fan, but they...
It's his birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday, Coach. What are you, 107? I don't even know. What is the guy?
Dracula. So he's probably 264.
Exactly. But man, I don't know. Not a huge Duke guy. We know Duke people, right? Pat, yeah?
Yeah, P. Flat. Yeah. Pat Flaherty is my college basketball guru.
Loves the Duke.
He is a Duke fan. And I sent him a text the other night because he was watching on some delay. I don't know if I think he cut the cord. So I think he was watching on the Ocho. And so I was texting him, and he told me that he's not a big texter either. He wants to call you on the phone, which is great. But during the game, I wasn't going to listen. You know, I wanted him to watch the game because he actually watches it with his girls too, which is kind of cool. He's got three little girls. And anyway, so I'm texting him, and he's like, I just sent him like the eyes, you know, when Duke tied it up. Off the perfect missed free throw play, which was awesome.
That's hard. That's so hard to do.
He said he practices it every day with John Shire, who was the old – J.J. Redick before J.J. Redick was J.J. Redick. Or he might have been before Redick. But anyway, he was one of those other big-time three-point shooting white guys that Duke always has and you hate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's now an assistant coach there. He says he practices it all the time, and they actually hit it. But I'm texting
him,
and when like you said, when Duke was up or down by 13, I think is when I turned it on. Mm-hmm. I sent him a text, and I said, I swear on everything holy, and I am embarrassed to say this, but I'm pulling for Duke. Now, I caveat that by saying I have a penchant. Look at those words in one sentence.
My mind is in a pretzel right now. I didn't know what to say. What did you say?
I have no idea. Don't even worry about it. But it's going to make sense. I pull for the underdog in games like that. So the underdog down 13 with 6 minutes left was Duke. So I found myself pulling for Duke a little bit. And he said something like, oh, thanks for being a good friend. And I'm like, no, this has nothing to do with friendship, pal. I love you, bud, but no, this wasn't friendship. No, but, I kept sending him the messages, and then he told me he was like a minute and a half behind me. So I wanted to yell and scream when they won the game on that missed three catch great play.
Yeah. And it was like a fake alley-oop situation kind of thing. Like, the guy was
– got a box out, bro.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, free throws all game, UNC did not box out. Did you notice that? I mean, no rebounds, terrible. It just – Roy Williams – because, you know, I got a guy that works for me that's a huge UNC guy, basketball guy. And he was a big UNC football guy for that one game when we played Clemson this year. But anyway, he says that there's talent on the team. I think their best player's hurt. Got another guy coming back from injury. But it's really, they're just not playing together. And it's, you'd think they would turn it around, but I think we're a little beyond that at this point. You know, it's crazy. Roy Williams looks like he's really... looks like he could quit. I mean, that dude's been around forever, you know?
Yeah,
he's talking about it, like, for real, and you're starting to go, okay, that's just Roy, you know, talking to the microphone, but he looks like he is lost right now, you know? It's strange to see, you know? It's interesting, but, that got me a little bit excited about basketball, though. I could see a little bit more of that, you know, here and there, but... I have a hard time getting into these games, man. I guess it's just me. I don't know.
No, I say it every year. I say it every year. It usually takes one game that I trip upon by accident to get into it. Now, I will watch Clemson play occasionally. If they go down by 140, which they're apt to do,
I'll
turn it off and watch paint dry for the remainder of my evening. Last night, for example, it wasn't on TV, so I was watching on my phone like as I'm laying in bed. And they were up by 20, and they were playing good D, and they were hitting shots. And once again, I don't want to make this Clemson-centric, but it was like it got me excited about them again.
Yeah.
And then but you're right. That Duke North Carolina game is like, oh, you know, I found myself watching Villanova last night. I found myself watching a basketball game, a Michigan State game the other day, and I'm like, wait a second, it's hockey season, and I'm a one sport guy. Got to just watch one sport. Don't make the switch.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Right. My big head can only embrace one sport at a time.
And this
it's,
is
and
true.
It's sad because my hockey team isn't even going to make the playoffs. So, like, what am I wasting my time for?
Die hard, buddy. Die hard.
God. I got my Ranger shirt on tonight, as a matter of fact.
Saw that.
I wore it the other night, too. Still hasn't been washed yet.
Some things never change.
Yeah, well, my wife washes stuff, like, if you look at it too long, it's going right in the washer.
Hell yeah.
She could have washed it yesterday, If I stare at it, it's dirty. It's going right back in. Our dryer's down right now.
Oh, that's an essential part of the household with children.
I wouldn't know. I don't have a chance to do my laundry because it's done.
Nice. Excellent. What up, you know, we got to ask JJ about this maybe next week, but yeah. I got to ask the question. So the Bob Knight thing, going back to Indiana, I got two questions. First one is, why did he wait so long? Was there a reason that this was just he picked?
We'll ask JJ that the in-depth and probably need to read up on it a little bit, but I do know that there was some grudge held.
Yeah.
Because I think it was on the Knight side because he was fired.
Yeah.
So I think there was something there. He was unceremoniously fired after putting his hands on a player.
Yes, after a long time. How many years was that? Did they say? I don't remember. So, but the second question, probably more important than anything.
Definitely.
What the fuck is wrong with his nose? Did you see it?
I think he's just old, man.
Dude, his nose. He makes Rudolph look like... I mean, there's nothing wrong with him. It was huge and red and someone just boxed him in the nose before he walked in. Did you not see this? It's insane. I was like, buddy, you could have waited another couple of weeks until that calmed down. I mean, it's been so long. Why are you coming back looking like that? It looked terrible. I thought his nose was broken for real. It was crazy. Wow. And then he came back. He started crying and his face got all red. So it matched his nose. So it made sense. But his nose was just. It was insane. Oh my God. I was distraught. I didn't know what was wrong with him. I thought maybe he had nose cancer and that's why it was red. And that's why he was coming back.
I see it now that you say it. I didn't notice it when I saw the highlights of it.
It's like a stoplight.
There is talk that he's in very bad health.
It could be. Maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't say what his bad health is, but they did mention that he's in very bad health, so this is a great time to do it, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha. That could be. Well, you know,
way to be insensitive about it, you know?
Well, you know, I'm known for my timing. Let's just say that.
That's true. And being perfect helps, you know? When you're perfect. Absolutely. When you don't have a red nose.
Me? Never. Oh, man.
I know we had something else to talk about. I know my whole thing is I don't want to go off of the college athletics thing, but we're digressing. JJ would be happy to be here tonight. However, he's not, so let's talk about it. You had something else too, I think, right?
If you want to.
Yeah, we can do it.
We're close to the end. All right. Well, that's fine. Well, okay. So, Major League Baseball, Astros, cheating.
Cheaters,
right? Big time. Okay. Yeah. So, here's my question. And again, this is something we can ask JJ too, how he feels on it also. But if your manager gets suspended for the year, if your GM gets suspended for the year, why do you get, and then they get fired? So, if they were just suspended, do you get to hire new ones? That's what I don't get. Why did they get to hire a new GM and a new coach?
That's a great question.
What's the suspension about then? You know what I mean? They should be punished this entire year without a manager and without a GM, in my mind. That's the way I feel about it. I think it's bullshit. I think that MLB just said, well, this is what we're handing down. And so what if he fires them? You're not allowed to hire a new manager, a new GM.
Yeah. Well, that, you know what I mean? That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. So basically, they were like, he's suspended for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. We're just going to go ahead and fire him and start fresh with somebody new. It doesn't even affect the team at all.
It's like nothing happened. It's like you just change. And who they go and get? Dusty Baker. Not a bad manager.
No.
Pretty good. He's a guy that can take you to the playoffs at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and with those players, they can get in there again, you know. But I just think it's just like nothing happened, you know. Now they're going to have to deal with every away crowd. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
The booing and the cheater and all this, you know.
That's not
but
gonna stop.
No, and it shouldn't. But, man, I just thought the whole thing was very strange. And it's like no one's brought it up. It's like nothing happened. They just said, you know what? go ahead and hire someone.
You know what's funny about that too? That very common just peaked, or well, I don't know what the word. Why not just use normal words? just reminded me of what the Red Sox did. So they fired Joey Cora, Alex Cora, excuse me. Joey's his brother. And they hired Ron Renicki, who is the bench coach for them. But they slapped an interim manager on him.
Because they're still looking.
They're still looking, but there's also talk up here. Of course, we're in rival zone, so you're not going to get the nicest people talking nice about the Red Sox here in, in the tri-state area. But they're saying that they think that they'll wait out Cora's suspension and just hire him back when he's done if he gets a year.
And he hasn't actually been given a suspension still.
Correct.
They're still investigating.
Right. Which is why they hired Renicki yesterday officially.
Right.
And the pitchers and catchers reported today. So they didn't even have a manager. They were about to report without a manager. Then what happens?
And that's fine. Bench coach is your manager for the year. Same thing for the Astros.
And that's what Renicki was.
You're down a coach for the year. You're head coach. Sorry. You know, this is pay your price. And you know what's even more important, though? You're down your GM for the year. The assistant GM. He's going to have to be the one to make the moves, whatever. You know, and that would probably be not as big of a punishment as I'm thinking. But I don't think they should be able to just go out and get one. I think it's just bullshit.
Kind of erase that negative, the black eye, and start fresh.
And then you got poor the Mets manager. Hired and fired before he even got had a chance.
They're talking about him being the ringleader of this whole thing, though.
Yeah, I did see
he's going down hard, at least in the media. Although the players
pressuring the players to do it or intimidating them and something, but now they're standing up and saying, you know, I bet that locker room is real fun behind closed doors. You know,
It's good stuff. Regardless, we're going to talk about that all year long. You're going to hear about it all year long.
Yeah, you definitely are. Yeah, it's a big deal, and I don't know if I don't know where it's at, where it ranks. You know, I don't know if they should let Pete Rose back in because of it, or if it's
he's trying.
I don't blame him. What else he got to do?
Nothing.
Sit outside the Hall of Fame. You know, no.
So I went out to Vegas in 2015 as I played credit card roulette to get out to the Phoenix for the for the Clemson Alabama national championship, the first one.
Oh yeah!
And so I went out to Vegas, met up with a couple friends out there, and so I was walking from the hotel room. They were there the day before, walking from the hotel across the little path that we were at the Mandalay Bay, and they were at the Luxor, so I was walking over to see them. And obviously, you stay inside. And there's the little malls kind of like in between the casinos.
Right.
And he was outside one of the malls, and they were begging me to walk in there and like get my picture taken and buy an autograph from him. And he was just sitting there in this little card store, a sporting goods store, whatever, apparel store, just by himself.
Yep.
Just sitting there reading a book.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But apparently that's what he does. He stays in that store.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he does. He goes to Cooperstown on Hall of Fame weekend, charges whatever, $25, $50, $100 for an autograph and a picture, and that's how he makes his money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know where to go with it.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't have a huge opinion about it. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, like, you had those books where you collect the stickers and the stuff, And Pete Rose, that was when he broke the record, like for most hits. You know, he was on the cover. I didn't know. I was really, really young.
He was a player coach too, wasn't he? Player manager at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And he still had that same sick haircut that he has now. It's like a helmet hair.
He got a free bowl of soup with that haircut. Delicious.
That is great, man.
You know what is? You know what's going on now? Or very soon.
What's that?
Is spring training.
That's right.
You ever been?
I've been with you. And I'll tell you what, anybody that's listening, you and the other person they're listening, I'll tell you, you got to go check out spring training sometime in your life. You lived in Florida, so you could hit, what, probably five teams within 30 minutes either way all around you in Tampa?
Five within 30 minutes, definitely. I could probably hit about 10 within an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Maybe less than 10, maybe eight within an hour and a half. So you had two in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, we went down spring break and saw y'all, and we were down there hanging out. We went to an early game. I don't even remember who was playing, but it's minor league baseball on steroids. You know, like all the players are hanging out, so friendly and inviting. There's like, I remember a little like VW bug like driving around the field and throwing out like breakfast sandwiches or burgers or something. You know, it's crazy. So we did the day game, and then the big thing was we were all going to the Yankee game.
Yeah,
which is like a little mini Yankee Stadium. It was awesome. And where was that in relation? Was that pretty far?
That's in Tampa.
It was in Tampa. Yeah, okay. In Tampa. Legends Field. Legends Field, yeah. Right?
It's now called Steinbrenner Field, but yes.
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. So we had, about a crew of about eight deep? A bunch of us?
Yeah.
Roll up in there. What's the first thing we did?
Get beers.
And who's running the beer tent? A local fraternity.
USF. Yeah.
And we became great fast friends. They had a keg of Ice House. And
they told us their spiel.
Yeah. What was it? I can't remember. Totally. I've been sober.
That they were, and it still happens today in these food and beverage parks, they count cups.
Yeah.
So they don't count how much product is actually gone. They count the cups. So say, all right, if you sold, say the beers, I think they were like $3 at the time. I think
it was really Ice crazy. House. I do remember that too. Ice House.
But I think it was like, so if they sold 100 beers, they needed to pay back $300.
That's what it was. I remember this now.
The guy told us, the kid, other college student said, just bring your cup back and we'll fill it for two. So what they were doing was pocketing the $2 for the fraternity, which we didn't care. We saw $2 in cheap college students. We high-fived these guys, and we couldn't get back to this beer tent quick enough. It was awesome.
And we started out with some pretty decent seats. They were right field line type of thing?
Well, we were like four rows off the field.
But then, you know, kind of a little later in the game and some seats opened up right by the dugout.
Right behind the dugout.
I mean, like put your beer on top of the dugout.
Talk
that close
to the players on top of the dugout.
Yeah. Like, and if you don't know, we tend to get a little boisterous.
Three and four seats in.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And we talked to, Nelson? Who was the pitcher?
Jeff Nelson. Yeah.
He threw Jeff Nelson. Frisbee.
David Cone.
David Cone actually, we actually got him engaged. He was engaged. He actually turned around and asked if either of us had a sister in town.
That's correct. Which I didn't understand at the time. 35 beers deep. I do now. Yeah.
The next morning I got it and I laughed very hard. And then I don't really know what happened after that.
Well,
but,
we also yelled, or they were yelling at Jeter, if you remember this. And Joe Girardi, who was a player at the time, turned around said something like, you know, it wasn't us actually. So I think he looked at us because we were obnoxious. But that one wasn't us when they were like, Jeter. And they're like, he's trying to work. Something like that. And we talked to Chad Curtis. We invited him out. But we didn't.
That's right.
We didn't realize that he was like a staunch Christian and didn't drink, so that was kind of awkward when we heard that. He probably didn't like the fact that drunk college kids were talking to him. But we had a good time on the stadium. But I don't know if anyone has been out with me before in public drinking, but I have to pee about every 15 seconds. So if there's a really long line at the bathroom, I usually just get done pee and then just get back in line.
And these seats, they were like, your knees are like right up against the dugout.
And the people next to us, if you remember, they were so nice.
Yeah.
They were older couple.
I would say we're actually very polite to our elders when we've been drinking too. We try our hardest. If you're our age, then, you know, fuck off. We're probably going to tell you to piss off. But like anyone, you know, this, we're not trying to make a scene to them or whatever, but we were just having a good time. And then, you had to go and there was no aisle.
I kept asking them hey, I'm sorry, guys, I got to pee. It was probably three times that I got up to pee.
Easy.
Well, that third or fourth time, I felt so bad about it, I just took it upon myself to walk across the dugout to get to get to the bathroom.
Like a mascot would, you know?
Yeah, no big deal. Except they, just they gave drunk me shirts, guy, I would have thrown them.
Drunk guy just wobbling across the top of the Yankee dugout.
But you can't do that, apparently.
Evidently, it's frowned upon. Yeah.
They don't like it much.
No.
Before I even stepped foot back down onto the steps. I'm not sure how many security guards it was going to take to escort me out, but I knew how many they were going to use. That's a wrong one. Yeah. I got to give credit where it's due.
I don't know how you didn't end up in the old zip ties or cuffs that night.
They didn't really even kick me out of the stadium. Like, I always told the story that I was kicked out of the stadium. I wasn't. I was kicked out of the seats, and they said, you got to get the out of here. Now I'm censoring myself? Really? No, I just did it. You got to get the fuck out of these seats. Because, A, we also heard they were Steinbrenner seats. When he came out of his box, he would go down and sit there, too. Like, that's what the old couple told us, that they were Georgia seats. So when we were told that, we turned around and waved to him. Because that's what you do, you know? You got to thank the boss.
The boss, man. Yeah.
That was a good trip.
I don't remember who won that one because we didn't make it the whole game.
I couldn't tell you who they played. But I'll give you a little insider tip if you ever do go down to spring training. This is true. This is real. This is not even a joke. Don't go to Yankee Stadium. I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, you got to go there once. But if you want, interaction with players, that's the worst one to go to. Because when George was alive, he didn't want his players interacting with fans, even during spring training. So even their secondary field that they have, where you can usually walk up to somebody at any of the other stadiums and get an autograph, it's blocked off at Steinbrenner Field. And it's raised up higher than any of the other fields too, so that you can't really interact. Obviously, Lox and I talking to the players, you can if you're standing on the stadium, or if you're standing on the dugout, you can talk to the players. But it's not like, quote, fan friendly. Obviously, no. I'm here in New Jersey. I'm in, you know, a Yankee fan. You go to Steinbrenner Field to watch the Yankees play. I get it. But the key as a Floridian is you go to Clearwater, or you go to Dunedin, or you go to Bradenton for Pittsburgh, or you go to Lakeland for, who was in Lakeland?
Indians used to be.
They were in Winter Haven. I know.
Oh, that's what it was, Winter Haven. Okay.
Tigers. Yeah. The Tigers are in Lakeland. And those are like, you're literally standing next to Aaron Judge.
Yep. Yeah. It's awesome.
So it's that's my little soapbox piece of advice for that. Clearwater is my favorite spot. They do a college baseball tournament down there. It used to be the Big East. I think
I was just going to say that it's very much, it reminds me of a college atmosphere as far as the actual field. You know, there's more like grandstands type of thing. It's not in the outfield. Massive. Yeah. You're getting into the game for $15 too, you know, and on the high side, maybe lots of giveaways, fun stuff. And literally the players are just hanging out. And it's a cool thing. Like, if you had kids to take them down, they'd actually get to get autographs, touch, feel, see these guys, like how big these athletes really are. You're going to see them right there up and close. It's a cool thing. It's really neat. You could spend a whole week and see probably all those teams in that region and spend $200, for entrances. It's pretty awesome. So
Clearwater has a berm on the back, and a berm is basically just a hill, grass hill.
Thank you.
You used to be able to get into Clearwater Phillies games or the Phillies spring training for $3.
Jeez, oh man.
So you could, like, you know, you pull up there, you're paying like $8 to park.
Yeah. And they always get you on the parking. Yeah. Some things never changed 20 years ago. They still nail you on the parking, right? Oh,
yeah. And you're parking across the street and down the block and, you know, in some guy's parking lot, driveway, whatever.
It is. It's a big thing. Obviously, everybody, you know, that's cold up north goes to Florida anyway just to get warm in the winter and spring. So the Yankee game was a sellout.
Oh, it's packed.
It was huge. The first game we went to, there it wasn't a quarter full. You know, a 1 o'clock day game.
People are working. Yeah.
Yeah. People are working. You know, we're just out day drinking and trying to catch a little baseball and maybe like a breakfast sandwich from a car throwing it to us.
I think that's why the Yankees were doing the 7 o'clock, because not a lot of guys do. There was a time back, probably even when we were there, before Clearwater had their really nice stadium, which led Steinbrenner to make Steinbrenner Field. because Clearwater one-upped them. They were they didn't have lights.
Wow.
So the games were over at 4.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
West Coast of Florida, for the most part, a lot of teams are on the West Coast, so the sun's going to stay up a little longer. You know, 3-hour games, 3.5-hour games, whatever it was over before it was dark. You were good. You were gone. Now it's when George built that stadium, he put lights on. Now every place has lights.
Yeah. It's not about making the money. You know, it's really about the players getting some work in, the split squads and like you said, the secondary fields and stuff. It's pretty fun to see, man.
And there's a game every day in March. From March 1st to March 30th, there's a game somewhere.
Yeah, so, it's pretty cool. Yeah, well, all within distance of each other too. So I really enjoyed it. It was pretty cool. I'm glad I got to do it. I'm glad you were the one that got kicked out, pseudo kicked out of the game, and I got to see it.
Yeah, you know, wingmen usually have each other's backs, but you didn't walk on the
fucking thing. Yeah, you know, I mean, the jaw was dropped. I was like,
you're like, he's not really. He's doing it. Shit. That means I gotta leave this seat.
I was like, I gotta go too. Sorry. I'm the apologizer. To everybody around, you know. Yeah, sorry about it. He's just, that's him. That's what
he
was
trying to be so nice, you know.
Yeah. Kill him with kindness. That's obviously the thing.
Well, I think next week we'll get JJ back. Who knows?
Yeah. Good. Yeah, we got a couple of things we can ask him. Hey, we already got topics for next week.
We do. You write them down because I'll forget.
I got it. Got my notebook right here, buddy.
Awesome. You got anything else, or can we end this mess?
I'm good. Right, well, we can close the doors.
Close the doors on another week. Week number 26 of the Chopper Beef Show. If we are done, thanks. On behalf of Zach Lochbarker, I am Casey the Beef Cregan. Thanks so much for listening. Come on back next week for more shenanigans. Say goodnight, boys.
Goodnight, boys.